God's grace and his mercy and his peace are yours through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that he opens our hearts and our minds as we hear his word. That word for today is from Isaiah 42 and Matthew 2 and Matthew 3, in which we hear about the baptism of Jesus. And like I just said to the kids, the name that he gave to Jesus and the name and the names he gives to all of us through our baptism. Well, names are important, right? Survey after survey shows that the people, well, in this country anyway, love to hear their name more than anything else, will respond to their name more than anything else. I think I want to name all of you Winter Warriors for being here today, and the 8:30 people as well. We would have had church last night, but it was a little too cold, a little too dark. I think we would have called those people the Frozen Chosen if they had come last night. But names are important. They have meaning. They have identity to them. They identify people and things and identify them with one another, to families, to groups, to entire cultures. Names can open doors. Names can slam them shut, too. If we go to Charity Lutheran Church in Detroit on Kelly on the east side, well, as I did as a child, and the people there would look at me and my brother and sister running around and say, "Who are you?" Well, then if I said, "I'm a Woodfin," well, because my grandma and grandpa Woodfin went there, instantly I was brought into the inner circle. "Oh, you're a Woodfin." And so now I'm suddenly part of that group at Charity Lutheran Church. Same thing with Mount Calvary Lutheran Church on Chalmers in Detroit. That church is now still Mount Calvary, but also Camp Restore Detroit, which operates out of that church. And by the way, as a quick commercial, there is the big week coming up this summer. You'll hear more about that, an opportunity for all of us to go down there to Mount Calvary and then work in the neighborhoods around there, and doing all kinds of different things. So we'll talk about that. So at Mount Calvary, if I said Woodfin, it didn't have quite so much traction because that's where my mom's family came from. But if I said, "I'm a Gramzo," oh, there, that opened all the doors right away. Or I could even use my grandma's maiden name, Risky. And there were a lot of Riskies there, so that also would make me and my brother and sister instantly part of the inner circle there. By the way, that's me. On my baptism day, September 10th, 1961, there at Mount Calvary, and the previous picture as well. I remember my baptism today in photographs as well. So names. Woodfin, Risky, Gramzo, you've got your own names and your families as well. Those names identify us with certain people and groups, with families, and in a wonderful way, in a way that we really can't separate from. I guess that's for good or for bad, right? But we are tied together by our names. I'm focusing on the concept of the name today because it's one that connects our readings and actually connects the epiphany of Jesus to his baptism as well. The name. Actually, the name of Jesus is not what we're talking about, but since you brought it up, talk about a name with meaning. Remember Luke chapter 1, Gabriel told Mary, "You shall call his name Jesus." As you can see, that name has great historical, cultural significance. It's also the perfect meaning for the work that Jesus had to do, right? Yahweh saves. God saves. Jesus saves us through his humble birth that we just were able to observe and celebrate. He saves us through his baptism, which we are talking about today, through his fully human walk on earth, tempted in every way that we are, and yet stayed without sin, through his terrible suffering and death on the cross of Calvary, where our sin was atoned for, where our debt was paid. He saved us through his miraculous resurrection to life, giving us the assurance that he has conquered death for us. Through his ascension to heaven as well, he shows us the way that we will be going to be with him forever and the way that he will return to bring us to be with him. So you see, the name Jesus is perfect and fitting because through him, God truly has saved us for eternity. But that's not the name we're talking about today. Well, I guess we did. But this connection among our readings today is the name, or more specifically, the identity that God gives us through Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 42, we're given something by name to take to the world, a light for the nations, a light for the nations. Our son Christian just got back from a 5-month trip to 13 different countries. He served as part of a leadership team for 40 students who, instead of studying abroad in one country, study abroad in 13 and cover virtually the entire globe. And one thing that he said he was amazed about, as he heard time and time again, in one way or another, in one language or another, was, there's something different about you. These folks encounter lots of student groups, a lot of them being from secular high schools and universities. He knew that it wasn't them. It wasn't them specifically, their persona, themselves. He knew it was the light of Christ that was shining in them and through them. It was his brightness that made them different as they met all these different people and all these different cultures around the world. Just like God promises in Isaiah 42 to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon of darkness. That is one of the names that we have been given. But even more, it's a part of our very identity as followers of Jesus. Light, brightness. Now in Matthew chapter 2, as we hear about Christ's epiphany, the arrival of the Magi, the kings from the east who have come to worship the newborn king of the Jews, they also quote prophecies from Micah and Ezekiel, calling Jesus a ruler and a shepherd, a king. These important names fill in some other details of our identity as followers of Jesus. We are subjects of a loving king. We are sheep in the flock of a great shepherd. And it's always hard for us in this culture, in this society, to identify and understand what it means to live under the rule of a king. So it's helpful to look back at the time when that was normal. In medieval times, it was a good thing to be under the kingship of, especially a benevolent king, right? A king who wanted the best for his subjects under his rule. Because when the enemy was coming, the soldiers who were on the battlements would sound the alarm and all the people would flood into the drawbridge, inside the castle walls. The drawbridge would go up, the soldiers would be stationed, and the people would be safe from the enemy. And the same really goes with the shepherd and what the shepherd did for his flock. Among many other things, the shepherd was there to protect from the enemy. And so Jesus, our good shepherd, protects us from sin, from death, from Satan. I feel protected in here. I think of what it's like outside. It's kind of cold and blowy. I know it's getting better, hallelujah. But don't you feel like you're in a mighty fortress in this beautiful brick structure, which is another great name for God, by the way? We are protected by a mighty fortress. So in these passages, we see our identity as Christians as light and brightness. We're subjects of a loving king. We're sheep under a loving and great shepherd. Now let's look at our identity in Matthew chapter 3 as we hear about the baptism of Jesus. This is perhaps the clearest and most powerful revelation of the Trinity in Scripture. As Jesus rises from the water after being baptized, God the Holy Spirit actually descends and rests on Jesus in the form of a dove, and God the Father speaks these words, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Except those words aren't just for Jesus. They're for each one of us as well, as we remember and recall our own baptism. The Lutheran Study Bible says about this passage, Jesus was baptized in order to affirm his identity with sinners. There's that word again, identity, and to provide us with perfect righteousness. As he was baptized, he affirmed his identity with us. As we heard in Romans, that we died with Christ and so rise again with him in new life. Picture the waters of baptism, the immersion into water, and the dying with Christ and the rising again. becoming new people, new creations. The old has gone. The new has come. And so Jesus, in this great exchange, in baptism, takes all of our sin away and in return gives us his righteousness. And more, gives us his place in the kingdom. That's identity. That's belonging. That's being a member of God's family for all time. So we get forgiveness, we get faith, we get eternal life in Christ through baptism, and more. We have this name, Beloved. Beloved of our Heavenly Father. And with that name and identity, child of God, subject of the King, something to which God is steadfastly committed. As Jesus said, no one can snatch us from the Father's hand. And really, in our society, that name and that identity, man, I need to be reminded about that all the time. I don't know about you, but in our society today, as it really has been for so long, there are people all around us, and society itself wants to lump us into groups, wants to separate us, wants to divide us, pigeonhole us, categorize us, especially with the way our political lives in this nation have heated up so dramatically in the last few years. It becomes more and more divisive if we are to be identified by the label Republican or Democrat or moderate or something else, liberal, conservative. What are some other names? How about citizen or immigrant or boomer or Gen X or Gen Y? And the list goes on and on. And with those names comes different perceptions and even identities imposed on us from society. And here's what else we're battling. We're even defined by the places that we shop, by the products that we use, these kinds of logos that many of us wear with pride on our clothing and other items as well. One article on branding by Duke University says this: according to new research, for people who are not deeply religious, visible markers of commercial brands are a form of self-expression, a token of self-worth, now catch this, just like symbolic expressions of one's faith. Self-worth coming from outside of us, coming from the things that we purchase or the places that we stand. That's the culture that we live in. This is the culture that's influencing us, whether we like it or not. We're being influenced by it every day, influencing our children, our grandchildren. This is why it's important to remember and remind ourselves and each other and to dwell on who we are in Jesus Christ, on the names God has given us. We are not Nike or Apple. We are light and brightness. We are subjects of the King. We are God's beloved children. And because of Christ, with us, God is well pleased. Those other names that I mentioned earlier, Woodfin, Grahams, O'Riskey, I'm proud of those names, and I'm sure you're very proud to be in the families that you're a part of as well. And that's a wonderful thing for life on this earth. It's important. And in eternity, the names we have from God through Jesus Christ, through our baptism, those are names which connect us to each other forever, which connect us to our loving God forever. Right now and in eternity. Powerful, complete, lacking nothing, unchanging, the names that God has given us. And so I want to light the Paschal candle today for two reasons. One, to symbolize the star, which the wise men followed as we consider the epiphany of Jesus, and also as a remembrance of our baptism. The moment when we became God's children, the moment when eternity changed forever for each one of us. So let me light this candle. Now, when we have baptisms, we have this Paschal candle lit, and that's to symbolize the light of faith. Symbolize only, right? That's to symbolize the light of faith that burns in that person who has just been baptized, but also to remind us that we also have that light of faith that we take out into the world, that brightness that shines in the darkness. So as we consider each our own baptisms, let's say this verse together from Matthew chapter 5. Let's say it together. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. We have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Because of Jesus, our name, our identity is light and brightness. Subjects of the King, sheep of the Good Shepherd, God's beloved children. In us, God is well pleased, and nothing, no one can take that from us. And so as a remembrance, as a reminder today, as you look at this candle, consider today and this week and hopefully even in the month, as you come into contact with water. And here's a good, easy one. As you walk out today, I guarantee you will come into contact with water in some form or another. As you see a light, especially a single light shining in a darkened place, this candle, or maybe when you walk into your house and say, Alexa, lights on, maybe that'll be a reminder for you. Or when you hear those words at the beginning of each service, at the end of each service, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May that serve as a reminder to all of us, that remembrance that fills us and completes us and makes us realize that God has called us by name and we are His. In the name of Jesus, amen.